First Samuel chapter 17. Let me focus my remarks by saying, with all that's been going on and what Christians are facing and going through lately, I can say without any reservation at all that what we need is a breakthrough of the Spirit. You say, what is that? That's when the Holy Ghost comes in and takes full control. And when he does that, you're going to see people saved, filled, healed, delivered, set free. You say, well, how do we get this breakthrough? We start by looking back. Now, I'm going to go to those who don't agree with that. Don't ever look back. I've heard them say that. But in this case, it is good that we look back. We look back when we do, we remember what God has done for us. We see how God has been with us. And then we see what God has done in the past. Let me read before you see. 1 Samuel 17, verse 34 through 37. And David said to Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went after him and smote him, and delivered it out of the mouth, or out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defiled the armies of the living God. What I see taking place now, the devil is come against the church. He's come against the believer. He's defiled the armies of the living God. And David said, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with thee. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I hear people say all the time, why do we have to go through this? Why do we have to go through this battle? Can I tell you that previous battle is the training ground for the major one that's going to come? We haven't seen anything yet. As we look back to victory, it'll help us move ahead in faith. But I want you to remember this, if you remember nothing else, that when the battle always gets more intense, the closer that we get to God's promise. How many know God promised you something? And the more and the closer you get to that promise, the more intense the battle's going to be. I like that song that says, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. Come on now. We shall wear a crown in that new Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But David went back to past victories. And he reversed or rehearsed for the future victories. But what I like about David here looking back is he wanted to remember the great things that God has done. I don't care what you're going through this morning. If you go back, you'll see how good God is. If your mind will only let you go back, you'll see how great God is. How He brought you through. We went through a mini battle here at Victory Temple. But God brought us through. I'll be the first to admit there was times when I did not know how it's going to be. I did not know how this thing's going to work out. But somehow, there's a God in heaven. Oh, I'm about to stand all over you. There's a God in heaven that saw us through. I've heard Christian people say, I can't take much more. I look at these families that's going through what they're going through now. I could understand if they were to say, I don't know how much more I can bear. But I go back to the Word of God. He will not put more on you than you're able to bear. Hallelujah to God. He's alive and well, and he's on the throne. Amen. The devil's not in charge, and the devil hasn't won no victory. It's Jesus. Hallelujah. But David facing the giant, God answers prayer. Look it up and tell you how big that giant was. You take the biggest man in this church, and still have to look up to it. Strength, he had it. But when there was no way at all, God made a way. Come on, stay with me. I said, when there was no way, God made a way. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He said, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. There's nothing that my God cannot do except he cannot lie and he cannot fail. Come on, somebody say amen. I said, somebody said amen. Amen. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you're facing. All you have to do is look back and see how big God is and see what God has done and what he's brought you and I through. God works even on the details of the difficulties that we face. But when we take to remember, we look back and we remember, then you realize, number one, God's able. Go to the Word. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly above anything that you're able to ask or think. And I can think big. I don't know about you. I can think big, but there's nothing too hard for my God. We make it hard, but there's nothing too hard for my God. Brother John, if you jump on that wheelchair and start running, you better run fast. There's going to be a lot of folks right behind you to run over you. Is it going to happen? Yes, sir. Do you really believe that? Yes, sir. How do you believe it? Why do you believe it? Because there's nothing that my God can't do. And when you take time to remember, number two, it raises our faith. How can you not have faith in God when you look back and see what he's done? And you know he did it. Nobody else could do it. He did it. And then, number three, our expectancy. Our expectancy grows. I go to the book of Acts, and the Bible said there's a man that was crippled from his mother's womb. Sitting at the gate called Beautiful, asking alms, expecting to receive. Now, if you come in here this morning and you didn't expect to get anything from God, don't worry, you won't. If you come in and say, well, this is too hard for God, it is. But then some believer's going to walk in here and say, oh, Lord, I believe God's in this place, and I'm expecting a miracle, I'm expecting a touch, I'm expecting to hear from heaven. Come on, somebody shout amen. Come on, I said, somebody shout amen. Yes, sir. But this Bible said, asking alms of them, expecting to receive. I don't know how long he's been there. When it came daily, finally there come two Pentecostal preachers. I know they're Pentecostal because they didn't have any money. They just come from one service, and you wouldn't go to church without taking an offering. He was saying, silver and gold,
have I not? Stay with me.
Silver and gold have I none.
But what I do have will cause him to make a bonus to straighten up. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. I had a lady up here on the north come up to me and she said, you're just so emotional. I said, yes, ma'am. You can't show me nowhere in the New Testament where they shouted in the church. If they did, I'll eat you the Bible. I said, don't get your own. You're not going to eat mine. Go get your own. She did. I took her to the book of Acts. Here's a man crippled. And the Bible said when Peter said, arise and be healed, the Bible grew. The Bible said immediately, those naked bones began to have strength. He jumped up, and the Bible said, leaping, praising God, going into the temple. Now, somebody said,
he couldn't even wait till he got inside. He started shouting on the outside. I got news for you, sir. If I was a cripple from my mother's womb and two Pentecostal preachers come by and laid hands on me and the power of God raised me up, I am going to shout. I am going to dance. I am going to run. I am going to praise God. Somebody shout amen. I said, somebody shout amen. Amen. I will run. I will dance. I will shout. I don't believe in that. That's because you didn't get hold of God. Look what he's done for me. I was telling some just a few days ago. I look back at what God's done for me. And if it wasn't for the Lord, I wouldn't even be here. I'd either be dead in hell, nothing, wouldn't have anything. But because he loves me. Can I tell you, every one of us sitting here this morning, if it wasn't for him, we're nothing. I said, we're nothing without him. Somebody say amen. I said, somebody say amen. But we realize we're about to encounter a supernatural event.
That's what's on the horizon right now.
A supernatural event. But to defeat that giant, leave your contest at home. Leave the blue ribbons at home. Because it's going to take the power of God to defeat that giant. We're no match for that giant. But you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon me. Let me tell you something, sir. When I talk about a breakthrough, I'm talking about when the Holy Ghost gets in this place and you see people born again. I'm not talking about just feeling sorry that they got caught. I'm talking about being born again, washed in the blood. Amen. Delivered and set free. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about denomination. I'm talking about knowing Christ. Hallelujah. Knowing Jesus. Amen. That is it. But the only way that the enemy can be defeated is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But what happens when we look back to remember, because that's when we draw strength. We need to wait upon the Lord. And renew, come on, their strength. You ever felt like you can't put one foot in front of the other? I done went as far as I can go. I don't know which way to turn, which way to go. Just wait on the Lord. He's going to breathe on you. And when he does, he's going to give you strength like you've never had before. Can you say amen? Our faith is going to grow. When we look at what God's done for us and what he has brought us through, I don't care who you are. If you just stop and think for a minute,
He's brought you through a lot of things that you didn't even know back then if He was going to make it or not. Maybe it was sickness. Maybe you lost your job. Maybe finances. Maybe you find out your son or your daughter was in crisis. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. But He's the one that brought us to it. Let me read. Look in 1 Peter chapter 2. You see, we're here today because somebody's faith and sacrifice. Somebody has paid the price for you and I to be here. I was telling Gary, our parents weren't perfect. They never prayed with me. But I'd come in late at night, and I'd have my mother's in there kneeling down that calf praying. Sister Colson used to say all the time that her mother would get together and pray for Charles. Pray for Charles. There were those that would even tell my mom, he's not coming home tonight. She would listen to that. Just kept praying. Can I tell you, sir, that when I hit that woman, I thought it came to the altar. I never will forget. You can hear people on the line, hang on. Somebody said, let go. I didn't know whether to hang on or let go. People got the prayers put in your face. Not on purpose. But I know this. When I got up from that altar, there's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine. Hallelujah. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's mine, and it's mine. What can I wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Can you shout amen to that?
1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, you also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house. And a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So what does he say? He said, we're stone, we're brick, building blocks, in the spiritual house of the Lord. Here's where it gets serious. We are the foundation of the next generation to come. If you don't hear anything else I say, you listen. What we're doing now is going to affect future generations. These kids see that mom and dad don't go to church. They ain't either. And a man used to have Playboy magazine sent to his house. He's married, he had children. Came in one day and he saw his daughter looking at the pictures. He got mad at her. I said, oh, okay. Don't get mad at her. You know, that's what she put in your house. That's what she could look at. Ain't her fault, your fault. We teach our kids now, unfaithfulness, don't worry, they'll be in trouble. Teach them it's not necessary to go to prayer meeting, they won't either. So when you have a child, you just took on responsibility. Oh, I want to make sure they get plenty to eat, food, clothes on their back. Wonderful. But the most important of all, is Jesus the Lord in your home? Is He the Lord in your home? I'm trying to learn.
But we're stronger today because of what God has done for us in the past.
God has done great things even for this church.
Sister Condelli, she can tell you about a lot of miracles that she's seen over the years right here in this church. And we act like it's nothing. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. Somebody say amen. Now, I'm going to skip over.
In the book of Psalms, chapter 103 and verse number 2, he said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and what? Forget not
all his benefits. Man goes to God, what can I do? He wants to know what's the benefits. God's got benefits. There's so many, we can't number them all. But I did put down a few. Listen to me.
And when he said, and forget my all
his benefits, he forgave us. He forgives us. He redeems us. He heals us. He crowns us with righteousness. He satisfies our desires. He renews us. He has a father's compassion. He knows how we're formed. He established his throne. His love is with those who fear him. That's just a few of the benefits.
But David looked back to report the source. You see, fear, when you begin to thank God and give him praise and love him, that breaks that fear. And fear says that Goliath is too big to kill. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. You see, the Bible just describes what fear is. He said, fear is a spirit. It's not from God.
He didn't give us the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind.
But David wrote back to report the source, verse 37. He said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of the Philistine. David's source is, it is the Lord who delivered me. And Goliath tried to make this a David issue.
But David made it a God issue. David came in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he's our source, we should expect victory. 1 Samuel 17:46-7. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. David's telling him all about it. And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and will give the carcasses of the most of the Philistines. This day, to the fowl of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Verse 47 said, and all of the assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord, and he will give you unto our hand. David said to God, I want to see him. Little bitty David, this big old child, I'm going to take your head off. I'm going to feed your carcass to the Philistines. And I'm going to do it because the people may know there's a God. I don't care what's been going on. It hurts. Some of the things that we've been facing, but there is a God still in heaven. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe that? I said, you believe that?
David faced the giant in the name of the Lord, whose name which is above all names.
He can and will conquer. He has all power. He'll give us the victory. And he'll cause us to overcome. When is this victory going to come? It's time for it now. It's time for it now. Methods may change, but one thing remains the same. God doesn't change.
The problems may be different,
but the problem solved remains the same. There's nothing, no nothing that my God can't do.